Tevin going to be like? I believe there's a lot of things here that God has given us to bless us. And I like to think about it like this. It's all of the good and none of the bad. I don't believe there'll be anybody go to heaven that'll get up there and say, you know, I thought it'd be like, and not be satisfied. I believe we'll be satisfied. Well, who's going to go? Those that want to. You're not going because you're good. You're not going because you've done enough good. You're not going because you've done right. If you go, it'll be because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross on your behalf and the fact that you accepted it, because we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, who's not going? So all the people today that say, I don't believe in God, I don't want God, I don't want God in my life. You see, I believe the blood covers everything that you bring. Problem today is people don't want to bow before the Lord. I've got something on my heart this morning that I feel like the Lord wants me to preach on. I've never preached on this subject before. It's been on my heart for several weeks, and it's what God wants. I'm confident of that. I'm a little apprehensive because I'm probably going to read more scripture this morning than I typically would read in preaching. And I usually use a lot of scripture, but we're going to be in the book of Revelation this morning. We're going to be in the first chapter, and we're going to go over to the 21st and the 22nd chapter. And the title that I want to preach on this morning is The Alpha and the Omega. Now, I want you to understand what this is. It's listed four verses in the Bible, actually have the title Alpha and Omega. It is in Revelation 1:8, Revelation 1:11, Revelation 21:6, and Revelation 22:13. Now, the implication or the example is given there more than those, but four times specifically listed. Now, Alpha, as the letter or the word is the first letter in the Greek alphabet, and it is the beginning, or basically what it means is the beginning, the leader, or the strongest one. It's like when we talk about an alpha male or an alpha lion or an alpha doe, for those of you that hunt. It's the leader, okay? Then you have Omega. It is the 24th letter in the Greek alphabet, or the ending. It means the ending, the finisher, or the final development. Now, if you look right over here on the stained glass window, the one on the far right, your far right, you see the Greek letters, the Alpha and the Omega. That's what those are. That's not just there as a symbol. That's what that is. It's Alpha, Omega. That's what it means. Now, we're going to look at this in Scripture. And I want us to understand what it means as it relates to God. We want to understand what it means as it relates to Jesus Christ and who He is. There's nobody like Him. There's none to compare to Him. He's the only God. There's no name above His name. And He's the only name whereby if a man's going to be saved, they're going to be saved through Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you that as a a prerequisite this morning. The tie's about to leave. I hope y'all don't mind. But a prerequisite this morning is there's no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Heaven is not on top of a pyramid and you can come up a multiple bunch of different ways. You're going to come through Jesus or you're not going. You say, well, what about all these people? Well, I feel sorry for all these people. I do. I don't look around me at the world that's lost, even those that mock Christianity and feel resentment or hatefulness or remorse toward them, because I understand that they need Jesus and they don't see Him for who He is. Now, the title, Alpha and Omega, as we said, is listed four times in Scripture. We started off in Revelation chapter 1, which is where we're going to read, and we're going to go to Revelation chapter 22. And here's what I want you to understand. It is not ironic, but it is divine that this title is given to Jesus Christ at the beginning and at the ending of the Revelation. Now, this book, the Revelation, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ that was given to John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos, and he began to preach and to read and to write these words as the Holy Spirit moved upon him. Now, I want to tell you before I read this what I believe about this Bible. I believe this is the Word of God. I believe it's divinely inspired, and I believe every word. I heard a man say one time, I believe the maps. Well, I believe the maps are if they're printed correctly, but he said basically, this is holy. Nothing should be added to it. Nothing should be taken away from it. It's not written by man. The Holy Spirit moved on men over a period of thousands of years, written in three different languages, divinely put together, the Old Testament being supported by the New Testament reporting back, fulfilling prophecy that there's never been a book like this book. I believe this is the Word of God. I believe it is inerrant. That means that I believe it is without error. You don't correct it. You ever heard a preacher, and I've heard this before, they get up in the pulpit and they'll say, you know, old King James missed it right here. Let me tell you what I believe. I don't believe they missed it anywhere. Okay? I believe what you and I might interpret, sometimes there are words that are archaic and we don't quite understand them. You don't know why we don't quite understand them? Because we've replaced them with things today where you can't have people, a lot of times, they can't even speak plainly. This is not to be interpreted or understood naturally, but through the Holy Spirit as God moves. Same thing in mine in your life. So my heart's desire and prayer as we read this, and I'm going to read quite a bit. Please listen to the words this morning. Because as I read this, and I'm going to be honest with you, I tried to shrink it. But to God, it just like He wouldn't let me. You know why? Sometimes, and I've done this before, we get up to preach or read the Bible, and I've had people meet me outside and say, is that really in the Bible? I said, well, I read it from the Bible. So open your Bible this morning. Read along with me. Revelation chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1. Says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things that must shortly come to pass, and be sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace and be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. Now that's important. We'll see that again. From the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and of the first begotten of the dead, and of the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You've heard us talk about being washed in the blood. There's your verse right there, okay? Says, and he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now that's John. We get into the 8th verse, and here we see Jesus speaking. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and to Ephesus, and to Smyrna, and to Pergamos, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And John again says, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about with paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Now, that's just part of the reading of the first chapter. And I wanted to read that for you to see it. You ever thought about what Jesus will be like when he comes back? There's a pretty good description right there. Okay? He's not going to be wearing sandals and a fisherman's robe. He's not going to come back in a manger and you're going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's not going to be doing carpenter work with his dead Joseph. I tell you what he's going to be. He's going to be a king in all of his glory. Okay? And when we see him, I want you to understand, all the kings of the earth are going to immediately fall down before him. There'll be nobody rise up and say, I can defend myself against him. There will be no army. There will be no power. Because the word of his power will be simply coming out of his mouth. And it's going to destroy everything that stands against him. Okay? He's God. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And here's what I want us to understand as we look in the word of God. If we look at Alpha, I want you to see some things. As the Alpha, he is preeminent. He is preeminent. That means he was before all things. Now, I want to go over to Colossians chapter number 1, and I'm going to begin reading in the 12th verse. And I'm going to start there so you will see who we're talking about. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, folks, this is great scripture, okay? You see, all the doctrine, all the things that we preach, we see it written in these scriptures. It says, who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature? For, listen to this, by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, that are visible and invisible. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in that invisible stuff. You better. There's a spiritual world all around us. You and I can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. I said in church this morning, and my prayer in my heart was, God, it's just like, would you move the top of this church and just send your Holy Spirit right down and dwell amongst us. It says things that are visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him, speaking of Jesus, all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what? The preeminence. Okay, here's what I want us to understand. As Alpha, what is Alpha? Alpha is the beginning. That means he is before all things. Okay? He is over all things. He was before all things. Okay? Now, also I want you to understand as the Alpha, he is this. He's not only preeminent, but before all things, he is the creator of all things. Everything that we see, everything that we have, all of the blessings that we have, they come from God. We live in a world today that's looking for an alternative. They say, I don't want to believe in God. I don't believe in God. I'm not into that church stuff. And there is no God. I've even had them say this in one sentence. There is no God. God is dead. Well, how can there be no God and God be dead? Here's what they're saying. I won't bow before Jesus. I won't bow before God. I'm not willing to allow God to come into my life and guide my steps. I want to tell you something. He's the creator. And we can come up with the Big Bang Theory. You know, that's kind of like this. It's kind of odd to me, but it's just this real dense ball. And they packed it, you know, it was real tight packed, and boom, it blew up. And then they say it's still expanding, the universe. And you got the sun, and you got the planet swirling around it. If you know anything about outer space, folks, there's so much out there you can't even fathom it. But I believe there, the Bible says, there's a great gulf fixed between us and heaven. There's things out there that if people understood it, they'd be in this altar right now seeking God. All that is to me, when I see it, it's just like Ravi Zacharias said. He said he made the stars also. It's just that much to God. It's not big. He's the creator. But here's what I want us to understand. He was before all things. He created all things.
Here's a verse that drives the atheist crazy. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, you know, you're either going to believe that or you're going to, what a lot of people try to do, and this is a bad way to live your life, is I'm just not going to think about it. I'm not going to make a decision. I'm not going to decide if I believe in creation. I'm not going to decide that I support evolution. You know, there are those today that are scientists that are actually intelligent as far as earthly knowledge is, but they will admit to you that divine creation was unthinkable. They came up with an alternative. What's the alternative? It is the false doctrine of evolution. And they want you to believe that that Big Bang theory existed, and all of a sudden, you know, the planet became capable of supporting life, and there was something over there, and lightning struck a stream or something like that, and the little worm started wiggling, and it turned into Brother Billy. It's about that silly. I want to tell you something. David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knoweth right well. You are unique, you are special, you are something, because you are a child of God. John 1, 1 through 3 says this, in the beginning was the Word. Now, if you study your Bible, here's what you find. It's when you find reference to the Word, and you can find this in the New Testament, the Word is Jesus, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, Jesus, was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You see, as the Alpha, He is preeminent, He is the creator of all things, and also He is above all things. Okay? You know, it's kind of like when you talk about the top of the food chain, okay? It's more than that. At the top of that pyramid, at the beginning, at the head of everything, the guide, the senior, the top of all knowledge, everything, He is above all things. All things. The greatest that we have and understand. You know, we think we're getting pretty smart. We can send a rocket to the moon. Now they sent this thing to Mars. You know, it crawled around out there and it's taking little dirt samples and sending information back. And you got your cell phone and, you know, we got to, you know, they're listening to you. You know that, right? Kendra and I be sitting there at the house and I'll be wanting to look at lawnmowers and I'll talk about a lawnmower. She said, well, here's your one. Pops up on her phone. I said, I think I want a trailer. She said, well, here's your one. I think I want a truck. Well, here's an ad from so-and-so. All this knowledge, all these things that we have. I want to tell you something, folks. That's just signs of Jesus coming. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, in the last days, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. What does that mean? That means you're going to be driving up and down the road. You're going to be flying in an airplane. Didn't do that 100 years ago. Y'all be sweating, saying, let's go home early. The knowledge, the blessings that we have, why? It's because God give us that. Everything that we have, He is above all things. Listen to this. Psalm 7, verse 17 says, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord. Listen to this. Most High. Pay attention to that. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. Now, here's what I want you to understand. The title Most High is El Elyon. You go through the Old Testament and you find the names of God, and this is a significant name because this is the name that the devil wanted. You see, when you read about the rebellion of Satan, and basically his name was Lucifer, and when he rebelled against God, he wanted that name. You find that written over in Isaiah chapter number 14, verse number 14. Says, here's what the devil said. He said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You see, but here's what I want you to understand about Alpha, about Jesus, is He is the Most High. Satan wanted to be like the Most High, and what did it do for him? It got him in trouble. And he was thrown out of heaven. And he's doing nothing today but trying to wreak havoc in people's lives. And here, I'm going to say this briefly and I'm going to move on. I want you to understand something, Christian. If you're trying to serve God, the devil's going to be after you. He's going to try to hurt you. He's going to try to disrupt. He's going to bring things in your life. And you say, well, why? He doesn't have to worry about the people that are down here that are living an ungodly life. They're already by their own accord choosing that. So he's going to come to your home. He's going to cause disruption and try to keep you from getting ready to go to church on Sunday morning. He's going to try to sow discord in the church to where we can't fulfill the things that God wants us to do. He's going to cause us to get our feelings hurt at things when sometimes we should let them go. He's going to cause us to act out when we shouldn't as Christians so that our testimonies won't have the power that they have. He wants to do everything he can, and Peter learned about that when he said, the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing these same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. How'd he learn it? When he denied the Lord three times. You see, Jesus, the Alpha, is above all things. Satan wanted to be like him. Now here's where people are in trouble. They won't bow to Alpha God. Sometimes people say, I'll never bow. There are times, and it's in my heart, I wish I could find a way to have the exact formula when you see somebody struggling. Just to get them to understand what life's about. That you're on this earth, not by chance, what an accident. You're not a grown-up germ. You are a creation of a living God. And your life will never be complete. It'll never be everything that it's supposed to be until you surrender to Him and allow Him to be the Lord of your life. Now, that's a process. Can I say, praise God, I'm not what I used to be. I may not be everything that I'm going to be or that I should be, but I'm not what I used to be. Why? Because I've come, I've bowed before Jesus, I've put it under the blood, and what you put under the blood is gone in the sight of God. You see, here's the point. He is God. We are not. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care what kind of education you've got, what kind of inventions you've come up with, how successful you are. You need to bow before God. Now, as the Alpha, He is preeminent. He is creator. He is above all things. But I want you to consider Him as the Omega. Because as it was already said in church this morning, as it's been said in song, I believe we're approaching the time for Jesus Christ to return. You say, you really believe that? Well, yes, I do. I do. What's the alternative? What do you believe? Life's just going to go on? Had a guy tell me one time, he said, well, when I die, I'm going to be like a German shepherd. Just put me in the ground. I thought, well, there's something to understand, and we're going to get to it in just a minute, about time. Time is on this side of life. The other side of life becomes eternity. And it's eternity for every creature that God created when He gave them a living soul. And there's something about man, you know, we're a trichotomy. We got a body, we got a soul, we got a spirit. Now this body, it's just returning to dust. You know, every time I break something or I get hurt and I think, Lord, I'm getting closer to being ready for my new body. But my soul is saved. My spirit communes with God, and I believe one day I'm going to have a new body. And I believe a lot of our loved ones are already there, and they already got that. You know, sometimes as we get closer, we get to look for that. We get to desire that. Because sometimes we get to the point in our life, and especially as we get older, and we've been through a lot of things, we can see more waiting for us on the other side than we have on this side. I believe that. So what does a person believe? They say, well, I'm just going to be gone. No, you won't be gone. You'll be in eternity, and you'll be standing there without God if you don't know Him. You see, because He is the Alpha, He is also the Omega. And I believe we're nearing that. Listen to this. As the Omega, what does He do? As the Omega, He sets the boundaries. You remember we read in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18, Jesus said, I have the keys of hell and of death. He holds the keys. You see, the truth is, and I begin to think about it, I cannot stand here before you and tell you that I can guarantee my next breath. I can't do it. I don't know how much time I'm going to have on this earth. I know what the Bible teaches, that a man's days would be 70. Now, folks, that's 70 years. You go through your Bible and you study, and you go back to the times before the flood, and if you got time to study it, I want to tell you, get you some books written by Christians and study about what life was like before the flood. There's more scripture in the Bible than you can possibly imagine. When men lived to be 800 and 900 years old, and there's evidence of that, and you say, I don't believe that. Think about it. Before the flood, there was one giant greenhouse surrounding the earth. It never rained from heaven. The moisture came up from the ground. But when the flood came and the heavens were opened and the depths were broken up and there were earthquakes and the earth was changed forever. And things happened like the Grand Canyon and Niagara Falls. That didn't just happen over millions of years. That happened just a short time ago, according to the Word of God, when a flood came and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. The ozone layer, as we know it, was virtually destroyed to the point that it's very thin today. The earth was a giant greenhouse prior to that. That's why an alligator could live 900 years and become a dinosaur. Study that stuff. I ain't got time to get into all of that this morning. But folks, God's word is true, and God's word does not conflict with science. You see, as the Omega, he sets the boundaries. And he puts up the wall and he says, that's as far as man can go. That's why in the days of Noah, and Noah was so blessed and every imaginations of man's heart was only evil continually, God said, that's a wall, I'm stopping it right there. And the flood came and the number of a man's years was 120. And then you go on and you look at life and you see the sin, and God said, a man's days is going to be 70. That's 70. Now, folks, let's just be honest. Some of us living on the credit today. And if we knew that we would have 70, how much we got left? Sometimes I begin to think about it. It's almost like if your life were a calendar and you put it on the wall. You seen those calendars where you come and every day you tear off a page? You know what we'd want to do? We'd want to peek. We'd want to peel it up and see what the last day is, see how much time we got, so we'd know. You know, I don't understand this, but I've heard people say, you know, I want to get saved, but I want to wait till after spring break because there's some things I want to do down there. I want to get saved, but I'm going to a bachelor party and there's some things I want to do. I want to tell you something. Living for God is not the pitiful way to live. I'm living in victory because I know Him. I can do anything that I want to do, and I'm living the life I want to live. And I'm free in Jesus. Well, what would we want to do? We'd want to peek. Truth is, I couldn't change it. If I looked and tomorrow was the last day, I can't change the boundaries. See, the question really is, what can you control? The only thing you really can control this morning is how you're going to respond to what the Holy Spirit says to you. See, you can open up your heart's door and allow God to come in. You can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you can harden your heart and go out the door. And you know where you're going to be? You're going to be on your own. See, I can't control the boundaries. Y'all know the song, I Can't Even Walk Without You Holding My Hand. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He sets the boundaries, and here's the other thing I want you to understand. He determines the end. The Bible talks about a day, and I'm going to read it to you in just a minute, when time shall be no more. Now, it's very difficult for us, and it was difficult for me as I studied this, to understand time. Everything we do it by clock. Everything I do. Even the leisure time that I have to keep a clock because of how busy I am. There will come a day when there will be no clock. There will be no time. There will be no rotation of the sun and spinning of the earth on its axis, tilted perfectly to sustain life. The Bible talks about in that day, we're not going to get light from the sun that's shining in the sky, but we're going to get light from that Lamb that's going to be shining. Hard to imagine. And no man knows the time or the day. It says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35 and 36, says this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. You see, what the Bible tells us about time is that there will come a day when the Lord will send an angel to declare that time will be no more. It says that in the book of Revelation, chapter number 10. I want to read this to you. I said I had some reading this morning. I want you to understand what's in the Bible. Revelation chapter 10, verse number 1 says, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. You ever been out in the woods or outside, out in the yard, and all of a sudden that thunder crack and you jump about out of your skin? I have, and it sounds like, oh, Lord, something breaking up there. It says right here there's going to be seven thunders, unlike the world has ever heard. And there's going to be a cry from the voice of the angel's mouth as a lion roareth. Listen to what he's going to say. And this is John as he begins to write. You know, there were things that Paul saw that weren't allowed to be penned in this Bible. God didn't let him. There were things that John saw that he didn't let him pen in this book. And the Bible says of Jesus Christ that if the things that he had done had been written, the world would not contain the books. There's a verse for that. But listen to what John began to do. It says, and when the seven thunders that uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. No more time. No more time. No more aging. No more clocks. Time is going to be no more. Now, here's what it means to be the Alpha and the Omega. We know that as the Alpha, he is preeminent. He is before all things. He is the creator of all things. He is above all things. Now, as the Omega, he sets the boundaries. He determines the end. And he's going to declare a day when time will be no more. You know, the Bible talks about in that day that people will be running and hiding from the wrath of God. And they'll be crying that the rocks and the mountains would fall on them and hide them from the Lord. But you know, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. There's nothing hid from God. And here's what I want you to understand is the Omega. You know, we mentioned this is written four times. I've read Revelation chapter number 1 and showed it to you. And I want to go to Revelation chapter number 22. You see, as the Omega, he will return in power and glory. Amen. See, I believe the Lord's coming back, and here's something I want you to understand. I'm ready to meet him, not because I'm good, not because I've been perfect, not because I got it all right, not because I get it all right all the time now, not because I don't act and maybe say or do things I shouldn't do. I'm not perfect. I'm not going to heaven because of those things. I'm going to heaven because I believe Jesus. I'm going to heaven because I brought everything that I've had. And I said, Lord, I want to put it under the blood. You see, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It says he has given him a name that is above every name. You see, what I have done in my relationship with God is I have chosen already to bow. I got saved, but I've come to the point that I've surrendered and I've given him everything that I have. So if he were to come right now and that trumpet were to sound and I were to look out and the eastern sky were to split, you know what I'd do? I'd just start, y'all see me start to levitate. I believe this with all my heart, the way it's going to be. It says that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. That means I'm just going to learn how to fly. And I'm going to go right up to be with my loved ones. And here's what he says, that he will, those that have died in Jesus, he's going to bring with him. You know what I believe that means if we're here during the rapture? I'm going to look up and I'm going to see my dad. And I'm going to say, Dad, I've been thinking about you. I've been wanting to see you. I'm going to see my sister. How many of you got loved ones that you're looking forward to seeing with Jesus? Now, here's what heaven's going to be, folks. It's not going to be, we're going to get up there and, oh, it's, you know, we're going to miss this and we're going to miss that. I want you to understand, it's everything good and nothing bad. All the sin's gone, all the trouble's gone, all the rottenness is gone, all the pain's gone, all the sorrow's gone, all the joint aches are gone. But when I see him, I'm going to see him as king. He's going to come in power. And to a world that's not prepared to stand before God, it's going to scare them to death. It'll be so fearful for people, I believe people's hearts will fail them, and immediately they'll be in eternity. But when I see him, and I hear that trumpet, I'm going to say, there's Jesus. I'm ready to go home. Listen to what it says in Revelation chapter 22, verse number 6. And he saith unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly be done. Then Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And then in the 8th verse, says, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. And then he saith unto me, this is the angel speaking to John, see thou, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Folks, let me tell you something. Please listen to me. This book's complete. God did not send an angel to finish this book. It's complete. The apostle wrote, he said, if any other gospel be preached unto you other than that's preached, let him be accursed. He said, even if an angel from heaven were to give it unto you. You know, there's an entire religion today that's established on that one thing, that an angel came to a man, showed him where the golden tablets were buried, and he took and he dug them up. And he said, this now overrides the word of God. That's apostasy of the last days. Amen. What the angels say, don't worship me. I'm created by God just like you. And he saith to me in the 10th verse, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And here's what it says. Because the time's once the line's drawn, it's done. Okay? It says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Then in the 12th verse, Jesus says, I, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Now you listen to that 17th verse. Here's what I want you to understand. We're here in the house of God this morning. We're in church. We've had great singing. We have the Holy Spirit. We have fellowship. And we have altars that are still open. We have a Holy Spirit that comes in and dwells amongst us and speaks to people's hearts so today people can be saved. But there's going to come a day when that's going to be gone. Church is going to be gone, the Holy Spirit's going to be gone, and people are going to be running around trying to figure it out. It's going to be too late. You see, He's Alpha, He's Omega, He's the beginning, He's the end, He's Lord, He's God. We are not. He's going to come back. Look at the 20th verse. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You see, when that angel declares that time will be no more, eternity. When we close our eyes in death, the Bible says as Christians to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I believe when Christians die, immediately, just like that, they open their eyes in heaven. We don't travel at the speed of light. We don't travel at the speed of sound. We travel at the speed of thought. How far is heaven? It doesn't matter. Because God can handle the distance. Y'all ever seen that movie where they sending these people to live in this foreign atmosphere and they got to sleep for like 100 years on this ship to get there? There's so much out there you can't fathom it. But for God, it's just to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You see, it doesn't matter. Eternity, hard to imagine. Eternity is what you experience when time is no more. And the reason we will experience eternity is because we were uniquely, divinely created by God and given a living soul that will live forever. What I think is very important, and I think it would be great for our society, for our nation, for our country, for our leaders to understand, is we're here for one purpose. That's to honor and glorify the Lord. There's a lot of things that I enjoy. I love my family. I enjoy that. I love the outdoors. I love the air conditioning. Amen. I love fried catfish with cheese grits and hush puppies. Isn't there things that we enjoy here? But when you enjoy them, do you give God the glory for it? Or are you like the rich man who said, look at all I've done. I want to ask you something this morning. We read this scripture, a lot of scripture. I wanted you to see it and understand. I wanted you to hear it. That's why I wanted to read it. It's in the Bible. So what the Bible says is going to happen. If Jesus came back today, see, he wrote and he said, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. And John wrote, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, amen. Well, where would we be today? See, if Jesus were to come, I'm almost done. I want you to go ahead and get ready for a song, but I want you to think about this. If Jesus come back right now, I'd go to heaven. A lot of you, most of you, go to heaven. But would everybody in this building today, are you prepared to face God? I'm not asking you if you're good. It's not about that. I'm asking you, have you ever said, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior? Have you ever said, God, I honor you as God? It's not about me, Lord, it's about you. See, it says over there, I believe it's in the New Testament where it says that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation unto us. See, what it talked about is how people will mock preachers when they preach Jesus is coming. And they say this, since the fathers fell asleep, in other words, since the prophets died, the old preachers died, all things continue as they were. In other words, I've been hearing about Jesus coming all my life and he ain't come yet. I'm sick of hearing about it. One day, the Lord's going to return. If it's today, I'm ready to go. You know what my regret would be is this, and this is my only regret, is there's people that I love that are not prepared to face God. And it's very, very likely, wait on the Lord's dealing with my heart this morning, there's somebody in this church that if Jesus were to come back right now, most of the church would be gone. And you'd be looking around figuring what you're going to do. When all you have to do is just surrender and allow God, you say, well, I can't be like you. I can't be like them. I want you to understand something. God's not looking for that from you. All God wants to do is help you be the best you that you can be. And you will never be that without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you, if you would, please, to rise to your feet. If God has spoke to your heart,